beloved, the Father of Light, is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and bless your great name. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for life. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the blessings and the things you've blessed us with in terms of security, in terms of safety, in terms of health, in terms of wisdom, in terms of insight and understanding, in terms of our faith. It was a gift to us and we appreciate you for it. We give glory and honor to your name in Jesus' name. Father, as we meet and fellowship together and respect ourselves, we commit this hour to your care as we pray and ask that you will bless this meeting, you will bless this word, that it will minister to every heart present in the name of Jesus. I pray it will encourage us, it will give us strength even in this time in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. God, we pray together in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to speak to us on the topic, the God of Peace. The God of Peace. I want to take my text from Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. I want to pick it from verse 16. I'll read from 16 to 20. Hallelujah. He said, salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Amen. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learnt, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, like I said, I want to speak to us about the God of peace. Many of you are quite aware about the way people pray in this country. I'm not sure of other clients, but I know about Nigeria, where people talk a lot about the God of my father, the God of Elijah, the God of all this. It will surprise you to note that in the New Testament, such appellations are not attached to God, as it were. In the New Testament, you find Paul speak about the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is about the best. Oh my God. Praise God. But in most places and in most of his epistles, you keep seeing him speak about the God of peace. Hallelujah. Now, before I delve into what he said, let us look at the exhortation of Paul from verse 16. He told us to salute one another with an holy kiss. Not necessarily the kiss you see on television, in all those films. Not that kind of kiss. Praise God. It's a kind of salutation. Amen. And he's like, he was encouraging the churches, all the churches, to be in harmony, saluting and greeting one another. Normally, you don't salute somebody you are beefing. You don't salute somebody you have issues with. You don't salute somebody you're unhappy with. Most of the time, we salute people that we like. We salute people that we love. We salute people that mean something to us. Hallelujah. And that should be the culture in the churches. The churches must develop. We must appreciate the fact that the churches of God, because he mentioned churches, the churches of Christ, there are different churches. There is a church of synagogue. There are churches of Mammon and all kinds of churches. But it said the churches of Christ salute you. We should salute one another with an holy kiss. Praise God. And then he went on to tell us. He said he was beseeching. He was begging us. He was begging us that we should pay attention. We should pay attention to certain individuals in the body. And like I always tell people, there's nothing we can do about such persons. The Bible makes us realize that those kind of persons will be there. If you remember the parable of the kingdom, it said they planted tares, so he planted wheat, and then some people came to plant tares. There's nothing we can do about that. You always find the tares and the wheat growing together. Hallelujah. But the however did not stop there. He said we should do what? We should mark them. Mark means you place a mark. Remember the mark of the beast. Remember the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You mark something for identification. You mark something for recognition. You mark something for us to be able to categorize. I said, this one falls into this category. Now, there is a particular set of people in the churches, the Bible said we should categorize. It said, those who caught what? Divisions and offenses. I come across a lot of write-offs right now on Facebook, social media, and even this morning there was a news of a person who's supposed to be a minister who was saying certain things about the churches, that the churches will lose membership because many people are fake and all that, and was castigating the leadership of the church. Now, no matter how bad the leadership of the churches may be, it is not in our within our rights to go public and start castigating them. It's not within our rights. People forget the scripture that says, before their master, they stand or fall. And like that, they cause divisions and they cause unbelievers to begin to, or rather, they strengthen unbelievers in their resolve not to go to church by those kind of irresponsible statements that they make publicly. And we should mark such people. And the Bible, what the Bible says you should do, it says you should do what? Avoid them. You can't be friends to everybody. You can't walk with everybody. There are people you must learn to avoid. And those are people who do not encourage unity. They don't encourage people to live in harmony. Now, when we talk about living in harmony, I'm not saying that you should accommodate error, that you should accommodate strife. You should accommodate things like that. That's what the Bible says you live in harmony with. We don't have the permission of heaven to accommodate those kind of people who are like wolves in sheep's clothing. That's one major problem I've found in the body of Christ. We have a lot of gullible Christians, very, very gullible. They want to make sure that they are pleasers of men. We can't be pleasers of men. I was talking to a man of God one day like that. I don't know how to put it, whether he was troubled or I don't know how he was concerned or how it was a problem for him. That he said I was not relating with certain ministers in Akure. And he was saying I was not walking in love. That was the accusation. I was not walking in love. And I looked at him in there and I asked him. Jesus was the most perfect example of love. He agreed. He said yes. I said, can you tell me why Jesus did not walk in love with the Pharisees? And he could not answer. He said he did not understand that before. I said, yes, because he didn't understand the Bible. Praise God. You see, Jesus was the epitome of love. For God so loved what he gave. Jesus came to show that love. There was nothing about Jesus that was not done in love. Even rebuking the Pharisees was all in love. But can you appreciate that? Can you understand that? If you were to live in that time when the Pharisees were living, would you have judged that Jesus was rebuking your set in love? But that's what many people don't understand. And somehow they were not able to get together. Yet Jesus was the epitome of love. So you must understand there are certain things. It's called value system. There are certain values that God subscribe to. If a person does not subscribe to that, you have no business working with that person. It's none of your business. You walk away. It's not compulsory. Yours is to talk to them. You can preach to them. If you don't listen, you move on with your life. Even the book of Proverbs speaks about that. It says, if you look and observe in a man that he does not have, he doesn't have understanding or a fear of God in him, he says, walk away. You must learn to understand that it's not everybody you can walk with. So Paul said, if you observe people causing divisions, people know doctrines, teachings that instead of building people up, you are, you know, somehow, even as a pastor, I think I fall into that. We castigate our people so that we can also get members, you know. I don't think that's the right method of doing going about that. Just let us just tell them what is right and we move on. Praise God. And it says, for such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's quite interesting. My prayer is that you will not cross into eternity and find out that you did not serve Jesus. It will be a tragedy. Many people don't know. They cannot judge themselves. They cannot evaluate themselves. Say, many are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. That's verse 18. They are serving their own belly. They are serving their own agenda. There are many people, you look at them and say, oh, these are men of God. But the truth is that they are not men of God. They are men of themselves. They are serving their own agenda. They are not building the body. They are not making the sacrifices. I look at people around and I've come to realize that not all of us are on the same page. Some people are trying to make a name for themselves. They believe that ministry is a platform for them to become popular and famous. Because if you are in a field like medicine, there is no way you can become well known all over the world. You can't make money. You can't free money. You know, you cannot become influential. Just like a doctor, it's going to be very, very challenging. Even though you have a first-class mind, you just can't be popular. Because we don't know how many doctors people know all over the world. Say for there are some cuties and a few of them all over the world. They are very, very few. But as a pastor, everybody gets to hear about you. It's a cheap route to popularity. And so you find many people taking that route. They are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ. They are serving their own belly, that which will profit them. And that is a tragedy. You should know how to discern. You should know how to recognize them. You should know that you ought to avoid them. I don't listen to their messages. I don't have time for that anymore. Because it's to not edify or build anybody up. And so, it's good that we also come to that place of recognizing that. The Bible says in verse 19, it says, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I want to admonish us. People around us recognize our obedience. When we talk about the faith, I wish I would do a series on the faith. The faith is nothing about you praying and getting answers, you casting out devils as it were. That is not basically the faith. The faith is void if there is no obedience involved. If you are not obeying the instructions, you are not obeying the word of the Lord, then you are not in the faith. And it says, but for them, the Romans say, obedience has come abroad unto all men. And Paul said, I'm therefore glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise concerning that which is good. May God help us in the name of Jesus. And he now said, verse 20, which was my emphasis. And he said, and the God of peace. Why is he praying for the God of peace? He was praying because of their obedience. Verse 19. What is linked to verse 19? We cannot talk about verse 20 without looking at verse 19. He said, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan. God will not bruise the head of Satan until your obedience is complete. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians. Said, when your obedience is complete, then we can avenge all disobedience. It cannot be done. One of the major problems, I guess, we need to deal with in the body of Christ is how to come to the place of obedience and finish all the syllables of obedience. That is where we will see God bruising the head of serpent. Now, in the Old Testament, you read about God of hosts, that is a warrior God. But in the New Testament, only the manifestation of the God of peace can bruise Satan under our feet. And I pray this morning that God will bruise Satan under our feet in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, let's go to John 14, verse 27. In John 14, 27, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He was speaking to them about his leaving the earth. And the Bible said they were sorrowful. It's interesting that many people give us the impression that all will be well. I wish that were true. I wish we would not have any cause to worry, we would not have any cause to be anxious, we would not have any cause, to be depressed. We would not have any of those causes. But the truth is that is not how it plays out in real life. There will be a situation where your mind will be agitated, where you will be unsettled, where you'll be worried, where you'll be concerned, where your thoughts can make you depressed, and you will like, what is going to happen to me? the tomorrow is very uncertain. You're not sure what's going to happen. And Jesus Christ had to encourage them, say, peace I leave with you. And speaking to you wherever you are listening to me, that I release that peace of the Lord upon you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say, peace I leave with you. We receive it. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is still the word of Jesus to us even today. I was going through some video clips on Facebook yesterday. Some people did some research work and they posted again. And they were saying that there is another virus that is still going to come out of China. It's on the loose now. It's different from coronavirus. It's a more deadlier virus. They say corona takes 14 days to manifest. So this one takes 8 weeks to manifest. By the time it's manifesting, by the 8th week, it's too late. And there are no test kits yet. And the same thing was created in Wuhan lab. And it's on the loose. Definitely, and from what they can say about the carousel of those viruses, they are man-made. There is an agenda playing out. And you begin to wonder, when are we going to come back to normal? When are things going to normalize? Are we going to be like this forever? Reasons abound why we should be concerned, why we should be troubled, why we should be afraid. But Jesus Christ said, these are not even the real deal. The real problems, the sorrows are yet to come. And therefore, we need to be assured that Jesus is our safety. He is our ark. He is our shield. He is our fortress. He said, I give you peace. Every time you hear bad news, I want you to remind yourself that Jesus is our peace. You know, over the night, our fence broke. The rain that fell yesterday destroyed my front fence, and my whole house is exposed to the whole neighborhood. And it was like, anybody can come in the night and steal. And I said, well, all this while it has been God keeping us. I will go and sleep. I won't let anything bother me. Praise God. I just had to relax. I said, Jesus, I commit everything to you. The Bible says, if God does not watch over the city, say the watchmen watch but what? In vain. It's in vain that we run up and down, say we will not sleep. Say God just gives his beloved good sleep. I need you to just relax. God is in control. God is in control. Tell your neighbor, God is in control. God is in control. Say, I give you peace, not as the world gives. We receive that peace from the Lord in the name of Jesus. Look at Psalm 37. It says, mark the perfect man. Hallelujah. Mark the perfect man. And behold the upright. Say, for that end of that man is what? Is peace. The end of that man is peace. It's not the kind of corona death. You won't die the death of corona in Jesus' name. The Balaam prayed a prayer. He said, let my end, was talking about Israel. He said, let my end be like the end of the righteous. And I looked at how did Jacob die. That's the kind of way I want to go. No corona, no sickness, no cancer, no nothing. Hallelujah. I will tell my children, it's time for me to leave. You guys come and let me pray for you. I finish pray, I close my eyes, I put my leg on the bed, I close my eyes, I just go. I and the angels just go my way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the death of the righteous. That's what I believe God for. Hallelujah. So what are you believing God for? Say, mark the perfect man. Mark him. Just like the Bible said, we should mark those who cause division. Say, mark the perfect man. Pay attention to the way it's going to end. Say, you will find out that the way we end is going to be that of peace. And I trust God that that will be the way you will end in the name of Jesus. Look at Psalm 85, verse 8. Psalm 85, verse 8. That was what the prophet was saying. The prophet was saying that, I will hear what God, the Lord God, will speak. He was waiting on the Lord. He said, but I know this, for he shall speak peace unto his people. I speak peace unto your life and to your heart in the name of Jesus and to his saints. But he said this, it was a caveat. He said, let them not turn again to folly. Let them not return to folly. One of the major things that can destroy the end of a perfect man is if he steps into folly. Folly means foolishness. Foolishness means that you disregard God's warnings, you disregard God's words, you disregard God's commandments. Yesterday, I was thinking over some of brethren who has walked away, and a few of them went into this idea that our salvation is sure, we can do anything we want to do. And I began to just think about it, that have they not read all the scriptures? Of course, Satan deceived them by saying that the Old Testament warnings are no longer relevant to us. But I'm surprised that if that is the case, then why are they still claiming the blessings of the Old Testament if they're not claiming the warnings of the Old Testament? It doesn't make sense. However, the Bible says that if you return to folly, you may expose yourself. God is committed to speaking peace to his people and to his saints. And that is God's word for us in the name of Jesus. Now, I have this word that I want to look at this. There was this one in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 3. Let's look at Proverbs 3. I want to show you something in Proverbs 3. It's very, very, very interesting. I came from verse 1. He says, my son, forget not my law. Please pay attention. Forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. That means keep it in memory. Nobody told us at the beginning that we need to cram the Bible. If you're a good crammer in school, it's time for you to start cramming scriptures. Praise God. Learn to cram scriptures. Just make it an habit, memorize it, keep it in memory. Why? Because if you forget it, you lose this blessing. There's a blessing attached to this instruction. And that blessing is attached is in verse 2. Say, for length of days, praise the Lord. There are two instructions that I've noticed that have to do with length of days. The first one is the commandment. It says, honor your father and your mother so that your life may be long on earth. He now said this, that if you will not forget the law, but you will keep it, he says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. When you have those commandments, it is compelled. Those words, those commandments have, it calls permission and instruction to keep you in peace. Not only to lengthen your life, not only to give you prosperity, but to make sure that you will always be in peace. Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, let not mercy, this is another instruction, and truth forsake you. He says, bind them about your neck. He says, write them above the table of your heart. What is the blessing attached to this? He says, so that you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So if you are looking for favor from God and men, he says, let there be mercy and truth. That's what mercy and truth does for you. It's even from what obeying the commandments do. Obeying the commandments gives you long life. Obeying the commandments gives you peace. But mercy and truth, the Bible says it gives you favor. Praise the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, he says, and you acknowledge him, what trust does for you is that it directs your path. So the problem that we mix so many things together, and we wonder why God is not answering our prayers. If you will obey his word, if you will memorize and obey it, he says he will give you peace and long life. But you can have long life and peace, and there is no favor. So you're going to have favor, let there be mercy and truth. Now, if you are going to have your path being directed, what did he say? He said, trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I hope you are blessed by that in the name of Jesus. Look at Isaiah 26. Like I said this morning, I'll just be exhorting us. I'm trusting God that this is a test run. And being a Sunday service, I want us to be encouraged in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Hear what God have to say. Say, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? He stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Hallelujah. Let me read another translation. He said, the man whose heart is unmoved, you will keep in peace because his hope is in you. God says, the man whose heart is unmoved. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 27. I want to look at something in Psalm 27. It's similar to what the prophet was saying here. Look at from verse 1. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now, verse 3 is my emphasis. Though our nose should encamp against me, he says, my heart shall not fear. I don't know if our nose has ever encamped against you before. When everything is like, this is the end of Solomon Grundy. Let me tell you, your heart will move. There was a man called, was it Jehoshaphat or so? Three kings came against him. Bible says, and his heart, and he feared, and ran into the temple of God. Many of us, our hearts shake at the sight of the host. Interestingly, most of the time when Israel went to battle, they were always outnumbered, out-armed, out-maneuvered. Everything was not on their side. But when the word of God comes to them, he will say, peace. He will say, don't be afraid. The psalmist said, even if an host should come against me, he said, my heart will not move. Where is your heart? It's easy to trust God in peacetime. The problem is trusting him in the time of turmoil. Can your heart be unmoved? Can your heart stay with God, even in the midst of trouble? I listened to a testimony of an American soldier who went to Iraq. Somalia. It was in Somalia. It was among the Rangers, the American, they had something Rangers. When they shot down the Black Hawk, if you have watched the film, the Black Hawk, Black Hawk is down. I think that was the name of the film. It was, that man was in that something. He said he was out on patrol, and when that something happened, so, well, before they shot down the Hawk, a particular guy fell from the helicopter to the ground, injured, and they radioed him and told him to go and rescue him. He said he had to pass through the midst of Somalian warlords and pirates, and they were shooting at him, and he was able to rescue. When that thing happened, he fell into their hands. It was just with normal patrol. There was a gunfire and everything. He got back to his base. Bullets riddled his whole vehicle, but people were injured, but he was not injured. And while he was still recovering, he radio came, as instruction from his superior officer, and said, somebody had fallen down. You have to go back into enemy territory and rescue him. I said, at that point, he knew he was going to die. He just knew, this is it. So at that point, fear just gripped his heart. Then he remembered that Jesus spoke about peace. And he bowed down his head and prayed and committed himself to the hands of God. And asked God, Lord, I'm committing myself. If I die today, take control. And if I have to go back to my family, praise God. But say, may he pray that prayer. One unusual confidence, strength just overwhelmed him. Said, even the people who were his fellow soldiers noticed that something about him changed. And he was so confident and drove past the Somalian people who were firing on them from all sides, got to the location, picked the soldier, and drove through hailstones, hailfire all around, and he brought everybody back home. And said soldiers were coming from every part of the camp. They were coming to meet him. He said, we saw something about you. Something changed about you. I made him pray that prayer. And he just began to pray for them. He led them to Christ. And that was what made him move from combatant, and he became a chaplain in the American Armed Forces. He said, because he saw the hand of God. And I can appreciate that. In the midst of turmoil, will your heart stay unmoved? He said, you will keep him in peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. God will not keep you in peace when your mind is gyrating from one corner of the globe to another corner of the globe. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to prove and show himself strong on behalf of those whose minds are stayed. So when there is turmoil and there is upheavals and there are bad news and all kinds of things going around the whole earth, where is your mind? Where is your confidence? Where is your hope? Hallelujah. Amen. He says, ISV says, you will keep him perfectly peaceful, the one whose mind remains That means there will be temptations for you to take your mind away. We must develop the discipline in this time and hour to keep our minds on God. The things we cannot handle, we just commit to the hands of God. Even when it appears as if we have lost the game, we still commit our hands, our life to God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said when he got to Asia, he said he came into an experience that he concluded that it was time for him to die. He said, but God came home for him. Let us check that scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Okay, let me read from verse 8. For we will not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. Have you got to a place where you were pressed out of measure? There was nothing to suggest a way of escape. They had pressed you. They have pushed you. And you're just like game over. Above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence in death in ourselves. They had sentenced themselves to death. That we should, but what happened? Said, but we learned a lesson that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raised the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death? God delivered them from so great a death. The life of Paul was a life that was always one of danger. It was moving from one dangerous situation to another dangerous situation. And every time he moved it from one dangerous situation to another, God always saved him. But the one he faced in Asia, beyond measure. And here God still delivered him. God will deliver you in this hour in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just make sure that your mind does not move. Don't be under temptation to seek help from elsewhere. I can understand. You face a situation, people will come from abroad, they come and say, there's one Baba in the village. There's one Baba that does this. There's one necromancy that has a word. We will know where this is coming from. Don't let your heart move. God will keep you in peace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me begin to bring this to a close. Hebrews 13 verse 20. Let us go to Hebrews verse 13. Verse 20. Hallelujah. Paul was admonishing the Hebrew church. Hallelujah. You know, remember in chapter 10 they spoke with you. He said, don't let us cast away our confidence. It has great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. Look, when you're under pressure, there's always, you know, the temptation to cast away your confidence. Your confidence is you having your mind stayed on God, that God will deliver you. I like those Hebrew young men that said, if our God will not deliver us, we will still not bow. Do we have that kind of disposition? Yesterday, I was talking with Pastor Billy, and we said, this generation, when are we going to learn how to suffer persecution? We are all afraid. We are afraid of our lives. We are afraid we don't want to die. But when will Marco not cool? And I said, well, we need to stay alive. Praise God. Because if so that we can be around for the main battle. Amen. But we need to begin to start developing a mindset that will be strong enough to keep his focus on God and trust God for whatever outcome will come. He now said that now the God of peace, and this is my prayer as I bring this matter to a conclusion, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. We are talking about him who brought him from the dead. This is the God who will bruise the devil and Satan under our feet. Now, I wish I can do some, but I'm trying to close. When he used the word Satan in that scripture that in Romans, it was speaking about an adversary. An adversary is a person who meets us in the courts of heaven and there challenges us on a legal right. So for him to bruise him, that means he's going to disgrace him. Praise the Lord. He's going to triumph over him. Remember Job. God bruised Satan under the feet of Job. Job had a testimony and he triumphed over Satan's temptation and disgraced Satan. That's why you're going to disgrace him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, that God of peace that brought from the dead our Lord Jesus, that Lord Jesus who rectified the New Testament with his blood, that's the person we are talking about. That is a person. He says that person will grant you peace. Hallelujah. That person will grant you peace. By person, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So every good work means, one of the good works that God wants you to be perfected in is having your heart stay on him. That is God's will. Praise God. He's having you remain constant and not be afraid of what is coming to the earth. I pray that it will make you perfect every good work to do his will in the name of Jesus. I pray it will work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He will work in you that you will do that which is well-pleasing. It's not everything we do that is pleases God. Anything that is, the Bible says that is not of faith is sin. It is he that worketh in us both to will and to do. I pray that that work will not end in your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let us trust God. Let us be focused on God. Let us allow his peace to flood our hearts, even in this time, in the name of Jesus. He promised us peace. Let us expect that peace. Let it, because it's not going to fail. It's not going to change his mind. I want us to bow our heads to pray this morning and ask the Lord, that peace you promise, that my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth. I don't want the peace of the world. It is not the peace that comes from the announcement of the government that coronavirus is over. No, it's not that peace. I want a peace that passes all human understanding. There is a peace that is different. Lord, bless me with that peace. Lord, help me. Help my mind to be stayed. Help my heart to be focused. Don't let me be double-minded. James said that a man that is double-minded will not get anything from God. A man whose heart cannot stay, a man whose heart cannot remain focused, will not get anything from God. Some of us, we know our hearts. We are easily afraid. Even as your makeup, it's time to tell the Lord, this is a weakness. I want help. I want help. I've come to the throne of mercy today, the throne of grace. I need help. This heart, strengthen this heart. That was what Paul said. That it will work in you that which is well-pleasing. What is well-pleasing is a solid, resolute determination to remain focused on him. To remain determined on, and not to move away. And not to lose our gaze from him. That is well-pleasing. That God will make you perfect in every good work. That you will do his will. His will is that you will memorize the word. You will memorize the law. You will keep the commandments. You will not be forgetful hearers. Like James said, that we should not be forgetful hearers. This is all scattered over the scripture. These admonitions are scattered all over the Bible. Lord, we ask you to help us. You know our frailty. You know our liabilities. You know our inadequacies. We are trusting you to help us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Bless us and help us, O God. Father, we thank you tonight, this morning. Thank you for this meeting. We give you the praise and glory in the name of Jesus. Father, I commit every heart to your care. Wherever they are being listened to, I pray that in your mercy, you will strengthen our hearts. You will help our hearts to stay, that we will not be moved. You know how frail we are. You know how unreliable our hearts are. We are asking, Holy Spirit, work this work in us, that we may do that which is well-pleasing in your sight, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Make us perfect in every good work, to do your will in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let your name be glorified.
Amen.
Give us your peace. Like the psalmist said, when a troop arises and is surrounded by an army, he said his heart will not move. Father, let that be our stories, even in this time, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father. We give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.